Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo guaranteeing to give away $10,000 one day this week. You want to run
through... I mean, I won't be held accountable for anything,
answers.
Jamie, but...
Three answers, you guys.
It's not our money.
Well, it doesn't matter, because we said we're going to give it away. If it goes on Wednesday or Thursday, it's all the same.
Yes, of course. And, I mean, we don't want to have another incident like last time, so we're trying to make it really easy for you by giving you the answers. Like, we cannot make it more simple, really.
Well, last time we did this, we gave five answers and it still didn't get one.
But he wasn't a real proper listener of the show.
Yeah,
he had never really listened before. He didn't understand what the concept of the game was. It wasn't to get not those words.
That's right.
It was to get those words.
Okay.
Anyway, don't make the mistake of him.
You know what used to happen? Jamie, you might confirm this. Mm. I haven't been in radio long enough, neither have you, but Jamie may have seen it. I believe... people on radio used to give away the prizes to their mates.
Oh, how dare they? Yeah. I get asked
about
it all
stories?
The time.
I have heard
Done
those
that
stories.
Anymore, does it? And they used to all be
asked.
On drugs.
I
all
do
the radio
get asked.
People were on drugs.
I haven't
they
heard
have,
that
like,
one.
Like a little Coke draw?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say Coke?
I don't know.
Well,
Coke draw?
Yeah.
Jamie knows.
Yes,
when they
started
Jamie,
bringing
spill the
both used to happen.
We should
absolutely.
Do a secret podcast, Jamie, where you just spill the secrets of radio. Mm.
My book is called Caller 5, if you're wondering. But 7:25.
Do you actually have a book?
No. One day. You know, it's one of those dreams. Write a book about
okay.
radio. 7:25.
You should copyright that before someone steals it.
There's three answers. Do you want to give us those answers? Because someone's going to win $10,000.
Oh, I can't remember them. There were helmet and there was swoop.
Helmet, swoop, seat.
Okay. 7:25.
It's not magpie seat and it's not bicycle swoop. Let's just say that.
First responder, Triple M, the Big Breakfast. Hey, let's get into the catch-up podcast.
The Triple M Big Breakfast catch-up podcast for the great Queensland getaway where you can fly for $75, stay for less, and do more. Be quick. These incredible deals end October 31 or until sold out. Visit queensland.com for all the details.
This is going to be a massive day tomorrow, a hell of a day out. Check out the latest go-karting party options at Kingston Park Raceway. Hit kingstonpark.com.au. It's Racy with Gracie. We can't wait.
It's going to be the greatest go-kart race you've ever seen, Marto. We are taking our Triple M listeners along. We're still looking for a couple of positions to fill the grid.
I think there's two left.
Yes.
Two spots on the grid.
Yep.
Two spots on the grid, and we want you to join us because quite simply, Renee Gracie, V8 supercar driver, is going to be there and she needs some extra lap practice. If she wants to make it back into the V8 supercars, we're going to put her through her paces.
You can't just train on your own for these things. You've got to do it in amongst traffic.
You've got to have some competitions.
And, yeah, if you want to have a red hot go, because there's a lot on the line, there'll be a trophy and everything like that as well.
Can imagine there'd be a few of our listeners hot on her heels, chasing after her, Marto.
Okay, let's get serious now. We've got two more people to put on the starting grid. How do we do it today? We would just want to maybe have a phone topic about cars. Is there anything you'd like? We've had people making car noises. We've had people describing all sorts of things.
I saw a relatively strange-looking vehicle on the road yesterday on my way home, and I couldn't figure out what it was because it was one of those cars, you know, where they debadge themselves, you know, so that they,
they're
non-branded.
They're naked, yeah.
They're naked, and it had spoilers and some sort of wild transformer kit. Body kit on it. I couldn't figure out what it was. Turns out it was a BMW in the end, but from behind and beside it, I couldn't figure out what it was. It had so many body modifications on it. It literally looked like something that would then fold out into a transformer.
He didn't want to look like a BMW.
He didn't want to look like a BMW.
I saw one of those army cars on the weekend. It had bullet holes. You can get bullet. I didn't realise because I.
Are they stickers?
I yelled out to him. I said, where did you do that? He said, they're stickers, mate. He had about a dozen look like someone had sprayed.
Cruiser, like the Ranger's been after you again. Get back here, Greg!
Jeez, it looked interesting though. So, I don't know, modifications.
Yeah,
they're so
that.
Funny. Some people do comical ones. Some people do it for high performance.
Those big old spoilers.
Yeah, give us a... Is that what you want? Strangest car modification.
What about fully sick modifications?
Fully sick modifications,
maybe?
Bro.
Okay.
Dual twin turbo exhaust. Mm. Turbo six cylinder.
No.
No?
All right.
Let's just use
those GDR, like those Skylines and the Nissans and...
Let's see what comes at us.
Yeah.
All right. 3:53.
The Big Breakfasts, Racing with Gracie.
It's Marto and Margo. It's 18 to 7, and we're taking calls on 1-triple-3-5-3. The strangest modifications to your car.
Well, we've got to get two more bums in seats for the starting grid for this race tomorrow.
Heading down to Kingston Park Raceway with Renee Gracie, Marto, Mr. Magoo. You'll be there. I'll be there. And we're taking a heap of you along.
I'm not taking up any seats, which allows an extra listener.
You're going to be the cheerleader from the sideline.
Yeah, just talking to people like
in the
pits.
You could be the starting grid girl.
I think
I will. We could put you in some Lycra, your cycling outfit on. Bit of Lycra, put you on the grid, on the starting line.
Now listen.
Like at the Gold Coast 600 with the promo girls.
Don't get sidetracked. This is about putting people in on the starting grid. The strangest car modifications you've seen. Jeff from Capalaba. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Phil.
What have you spotted?
Well, back in the day, this is embarrassing, but I had an early 70s Toyota Corona. It was pumpkin orange.
Wow, what a car.
It was amazing, yeah. I had no sports exhaust, so I used a Milo tin.
What does that do? Does it make it sound really loud?
It does amplify the sound at the back end of the car a bit, yeah.
And? Was it a hit?
No.
Did you leave the wrapper on it, like the Milo label, or did you take it off and spray it?
No, I actually left it on there until it burnt off.
Now, Jeff, did you do this to impress mates or to pick up chicks? Wouldn't have done
it. No one.
Yeah, it did neither, did it? Jeff, thank you. Lesson for any youngsters listening, don't do that.
Caleb from Vicky Point. Hey, Caleb. Yeah.
How you going?
Yeah, here you want to come along racing with Gracie tomorrow at Kingston Park Raceway.
Yeah.
Have you got a strange car modification that you've seen, or was it you?
It's not strange, but I work in a performance shop, and we had a customer come in want to put twin turbos on his Holden Commodore Ute.
Oh, yeah, and what of it, Caleb?
Oh, I ended up making 1,000 horsepower.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, so you did it?
Yeah. Come out really good. So it just does big burnouts now.
Oh, I bet. Sick.
He's only days away from having that confiscated by the cops, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only a few. Yeah,
and not unless he's putting it somewhere where he's allowed to, like out at Willowbank Raceway, and he's racing it out there, because you can have street car
but we
racing
all know,
out there.
You all know that bloke's just going to an industrial estate near you and just hooning around. Hey, Caleb, are you right to come tomorrow?
Yeah, I should be able to, yeah.
See you there. Tell the boss. Yeah, we'll give the business a plug, that sort of thing. What's the name of the business?
Anything racing.
See? The boss will say, Jesus, you're a champion.
Might have to bring the Mustang down.
Oh.
Get on your car.
Bring your tools, Caleb. Margo needs a tune-up in the Mustang.
Needs a tune-up on the Mustang. Chris from Leichhardt, good morning.
How you going?
Yeah, hey, mate. Modifications on cars. What have you seen? What have you done?
I did some little crazy things. I used to own a 2009 Honda Jazz.
Honda Jazz, yeah. No, well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, I actually took a VA Falcon rear spoiler and turned it into a front lip.
Jesus.
Oh, God. I cut the exhaust down and made it pop and bang like they do in the little Volkswagen Golfs.
Yes.
I added a rear spoiler.
Why? Who were you impressing? Same question. Is it a chick?
It wasn't about impressing anybody. It was about being different.
Did you go in at night time when you'd wrapped everything up and just laugh to yourself and go, you are such a clever guy, Chris?
Yeah, well, I actually did it, like I said, to be different. And then everybody else called me a fool for doing it.
Yeah.
But now people with other cars that are cool, apparently like S15s and stuff like that, are taking the same spoilers and doing the same thing today.
Chris, was it just exterior body modifications? Did you do anything to the engine or like Milo tins on the muffler?
I did do a cut down intake manifold. I did a shift upgrade. I did a rear floor pan change.
Who bought this off you in the end? Like, who's in the market
who
for all these
to?
Things?
There was actually, because the car I bought had all the airbags in it, a friend of mine who had twins, he said he needed a safer car to have his little girls.
Oh, that's
Chris, yesterday we made our listeners ring in and make like car sounds.
Here's yesterday.
Well, that was
a sprint car.
That
was Nelly. She's coming along. Can you give us an idea of what this little souped up Honda Jazz would have sounded like?
Under acceleration, it sounded like a grunting pig.
Give us a go.
no, not exactly. More of a throaty.
Right. Hey, Chris, can you bring photos if you're coming tomorrow?
Oh, I can.
Right, you want to come tomorrow, Chris?
Yeah, I can come tomorrow.
Oh, do you want to, though? You can, but do you want to?
Yes, I do want to. I'd love to put my best against the V8 supercar race driver.
Righto, Radio, well, we'll Chris. Find out. We'll see you then. Well, that's the end of him.
That's
but it. Steve from Loganholme, unfortunately, we've got him on the text. In Bali, I saw a cab hanging a home air conditioning unit out of its back window.
I've actually seen that in Bali also. Well, it seems to be a thing.
Well done, Bali.
This is Triple M. Corey's going around the house. Stock is Margo's busy parking orders.
Time for At Home with Parkers. Oh, Mardo, sometimes as parents we get it very right and sometimes we get it very wrong. And there was a very wrong in our Parker household just recently because Sunday night there I found myself in the laundry preparing the uniforms for Monday morning. I'd been away on a girls' weekend in Noosa, so I thought I best do something productive to contribute to the household because Corey has upheld, of course, the wonderful standard that he holds in our household. So I thought I'd contribute by getting the uniforms ready so that Monday morning was a little easier because it's an early start to our day. And as I folded and ironed and hung up the school uniforms, I realised that there were some shirts named not ours. Normally we have River Parker, Wiley Parker, Parker.
Oh, you're a
Parker.
Namer.
Hey, we're a namer.
What method do you use?
Well, they get dressed at school. Just Nico. They get dressed
Nico,
at school.
Yeah.
Your swimming squad or, you know, in and out of sports uniforms into
so
their dress uniform.
So you don't do one of those printout ones? Oh, and then
don't do labels. You've got to iron them on and
what
it's
what do you think of those people?
And, I mean, look, they're wonderful. Good luck to them. You know, it's not my style.
What a waste of
I'm
your
just
life.
To get a Sharpie and write it on. W Parker.
Oh, it is a waste of life. Like getting one of those machines.
It's like contacting books. Yeah. No, buy the book covers that they... Okay. You just buy and slip the sleeves in. It's so much easier.
Nico is
I'm not
the
pretending
answer.
To be something I'm not, but I just use a Nico or a Sharpie, write it on.
Yep.
But there was some items of uniform. Well, there was all of the items of one uniform to be exact. A shirt, pair of shorts, a pair of socks, a belt, and a pair of school shoes that did not belong to us.
You had a sleepover on the weekend.
That's
and you
I
had
thought.
Someone else's gear.
Well, I'd been away, Marto. I thought maybe one of
Who's
the boys
been?
Had a sleepover on Friday. Yeah. Sometimes we often randomly take kids home from school for play dates and sleepovers.
And you know that there'll be a mad call on the Monday. Have
Someone
you got my school shoes and my shirt? And,
and
my
it
belt.
Was Wiley's size, so I said to Wiley, I said, mate, Who's is this mate? Whose uniform is this? This is not ours. And he said, oh, Mum, it's a spare uniform from the uniform office. And I said, well, what do we have a spare uniform from the uniform office for? And he said, well, on Friday, Mum.
Don't tell me.
I thought we had our school excursion and I turned up in my costume ready for the school excursion and they are currently doing the history of Australia.
What
and so he went to he went to
Kelly?
School dressed as a convict.
Oh nice. Hold
and
on.
Then very soon realised that nobody else was dressed up ready for the excursion and that the excursion...
You spent one night away from your children on Thursday. Oh, well, don't worry about Friday, Saturday, you're having fun. But you spent one night working Thursday night.
Yes.
You telling me Corey Parker couldn't get all the kids sorted in one morning?
Well, the thing is, Marto, I said to him, he said, I thought I had our excursion on Friday, Mum, but turns out it's next Friday. And I said to him, what excursion, mate?
Yeah,
he said, next week we've got an excursion. And
Where
I thought,
are they going to a jail?
So he had to walk on down, do the walk of shame down to the office to get himself a new uniform,
God.
The poor little thing. But, I can safely say it wasn't my fault, Marto. Thank you for highlighting that. I wasn't there. Corey Parker, it is your fault. Dad of the year. Yeah, right.
Convict. But great rugby league story, though. Get in early before you become a convict and start dressing like one.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, you said there's not been much news when it comes to rugby league, of course, because the season has finished. We saw the Redcliffe Dolphins be announced.
No one belting each other.
There's no one belting each other, but there's been some vaccination chat about Peter Valandis. Mm. But there's one little thing that you managed to miss,
well,
Marto, an oversight on your behalf.
Yes.
That was Benji Marshall.
He's retired. He's no longer part of the rugby league world.
He's not a Tiger. He's not a Rabbitoh. He's not a Dragon. He's not
a
Bronco anymore.
He's a Johnny Citizen.
Well, he's a dad, and he's a new dad because his beautiful wife, Zoe, gave birth 2 weeks ago to a little girl called Eva.
That's not his first one, is it?
No, second one. They've got a little boy, Fox, who is about 3, I think. But anyway... What I wanted to talk about is the fact that he has confessed in a podcast that seeing his wife in labour and give birth to their new daughter, Eva, was kind of turned on by it. And he said, well, I won't go as far to say turned on, but what it did was it gave me a newfound feeling for my wife. And I was just so in the moment that I felt this newfound love for her and that
wow.
I'm like, yes, let's have this baby and let's make another one. Because he said seeing her, you know, compromise, sacrifice her body, you know, herself as a person, go through pregnancy where she was really, really very sick and then deliver this baby very naturally. So it was very raw. And it realized
it is very
how
raw.
He realized how selfish he had been and that how he had never really considered anybody else other than himself being a professional athlete.
That's
for so
okay.
long.
You know, every professional athlete, yeah. all athletes have to be incredibly selfish and just
Football
look about themselves.
Football is the priority and mm. then therefore
so sounds like he's had a feeling of
he's
euphoria.
Yeah, he's had a moment where he's kind of went, you know what, this is not just about me anymore. This is not about my football career and a contract and money. This is about, you know, my family and children. And Benji obviously didn't have a relationship with his father. His mum was only 15 when
oh,
she
okay.
had him.
Yeah.
And so he said
Jeez,
he was
is that right?
He was never sure if he wanted to be a dad because he didn't have a father figure in his life and he thought that he would fail at being a dad. It was a really, really great podcast, actually, where he opened up. And
well, you don't have to deliver the bloody thing. You yeah. just have to stand in there and give support.
I wondered if all men have those sorts of feelings because, you know, often you hear people joke and go, oh, you watch your favourite pub burn down, you know, when you watch your wife deliver your child.
Like a hand grenade in a ripe watermelon field.
There goes
field,
your playground,
sort of
you know,
yeah,
like
I've
all those
them.
Sorts
I've
of
heard
things.
Them. I've heard
there are actually moments where, you know, men are enlightened by their experience. I got chatting to my girlfriends about it on the weekend. We were away on a girls' weekend and we always end up talking about being mums, of course, and our children and our husbands, and we were talking about childbirth and the annoying tics that men do when they're in an uncomfortable situation. They don't know what to do.
What do you mean tics?
Well, one of the my girlfriend, she's very organised and, you know, she runs her own business, and so she had said to her husband, you know, make sure you have some content for me. I need some talking points.
Some what?
To keep me distracted. I need some talking points. Make sure you come in.
What, in labour?
You've got something to keep me distracted instead of just sort of ho-hum surface level conversation.
What does she want to talk? How did they build the pyramids? Like, I always wondered about that. But while you're in labour, no one wants to talk about that.
I'm not sure. And then one of my other girlfriends was saying how her husband just kept kissing her face. Oh. And she's like, it got really irritating after a while. And it was, you know, Corey was really wonderfully organised for our first child. He had like a playlist set out, ready to go. And when I was about to deliver, he's like, hang on a second, I've got to play the song. Oh. He wanted Memphis Born to a particular song. And he kept feeding me the ice cubes. I'm like, that's okay. It's enough with the ice cubes now. Thanks, babe.
That's a footy thing. Ice fixes everything. Ice fixes
everything.
Wow. Well, you know, the only thing I did when I was
there. Were you in the delivery room?
Yeah, of course I was. Yeah. But the first one took a fair while. And I just went, I'm useless. I'm not, I like doing things. That's what I do.
Being helpful.
I'm helpful. So I went down to the, because I saw Catherine, you know, you feel like you've got to go to the toilet so many times.
Yeah.
She couldn't fit through the door. She was quite big with her pregnancy. So I went down to the ute and got my rattle gun and took the door off the off the toilet.
Did you?
Yeah, private suite.
I would have been so impressed by that, Marto.
You're still amazing. Oh. And it was all I needed. And then she put her fingers, because I was using, you know, just holding hands, didn't do the ice.
Did
which
she
I thought
squeeze
of the, ice.
The bloody
no,
hell out of your
she
hand?
She put her fingernails through that webbing between my thumb and my forefinger. She was squeezing me so hard, not accusing me of this is all my fault.
It's almost an out-of-body experience. Yeah. You kind of don't realise what is happening in the moment until you later reflect on it and your husband tells you about all of the, you know, weird and wonderful
things that
you
happened.
Did. 1-3-3-5-3. Oh. It doesn't always go to plan.
What,
but
the
what
delivery
happened
room?
In the delivery room? Scott from the Grange, good morning.
G'day. It was my daughter who's 16 now, so I'm just telling you she's all fine. Yeah. But so she's our second child. My wife was in the birthing centre with the midwife. She tried the bath, didn't really like that. And then I'm guessing maybe an hour and a half or so into it, got on hands and knees with one of those big fitness balls, so her elbows are on that poking board.
Yeah.
The midwife and I are at the business end, and I basically got chatting to the midwife and distracted her. My wife gave one huge push, and my daughter came flying out, and she hit the floor.
Fell out.
No one caught her.
Hit the floor. Someone needed the weaker keeper gloves on. That's incredible, because that's what happens. Second child, just you bend over and it comes out.
I mean, luckily, if you're down on the floor on your knees over a Swiss ball, there's not far for the baby to go, of course.
Yeah, well, that's
Scott.
What Scott wanted to say. She was fully functioning, correct?
Yeah, she's not wearing a helmet anymore. No,
no,
that's
great.
Next
no,
she's
little,
having a laugh.
No little tinks.
So Scott. She's been told, that doesn't come as a surprise, she's been told that story before.
Yeah, so she uses nice. It against us every now and then. Well, you did drop me a birth. So.
It's not my fault.
Thanks, Scott. That is unreal.
Melanie from Morayfield, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good. We just heard about Scott, his daughter hitting the floor. Do you have a delivery room story?
Yes, I do. My partner was pretty useless in the delivery room. There was no support or anything. But the
Hold on. I've got to stand up for him in some ways. What do you mean support? Was he there encouraging you, going, it'll be all right, love?
Back.
Or was he watching,
no,
did he have the TAB?
There was no caressing, no touching, no nothing. The only word of support was, you can do it. And that's kind of from like the Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, right. It's one that they use throughout all the
movies. You can do it.
Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah. How many hours did that go on for?
Oh God.
Two?
Yeah, I'm no longer with him anyway.
Oh. You can do it.
That PTSD, does that bring back bad memories, Melanie?
You can do it.
Does that sound familiar, yeah. Melanie?
Oh,
you
yeah,
can that's... do it.
That's really haunting.
Did you eye gouge him at any stage? Or didn't get closer? He wanted to.
Wanted to.
Yes, I wanted to.
That's hilarious.
Thank you, Melanie. Appreciate the call.
You can do it.
Victor from Brackenridge texted her and said he had his finger bitten off. What? Oh, my goodness. And Jeremy from Slacks Creek, he administered his wife the gas. Corey did that to me at one point. He said, do you want me to turn the gas up? Because at that stage, I was just getting the air. And I was like, yeah, maybe a little bit would be good. But he turned it up too high. It made me sick and I ended up throwing up everywhere. It was awful.
Thank you for calling.
Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
A gentleman, unfortunately, has been charged with high-range drink driving and faced the Cleveland Magistrates Court after he was caught 4 kilometres offshore outside of Mooloolaba Beach.
On a boat? He's out on a boat, so it's not drink driving. What's that called?
No, high-range drink driving. A boat off Mooloolaba Beach without a licence. Double whammy. Unfortunate.
Hold on. So you didn't have a boat licence. How do you not have a boat licence and you're pissed? You're taking a chance.
Well, as we get into further detail in this story, it turns out that it wasn't his boat. It was his mate's boat who was on board with him, but he was too drunk to drive the tinny home. So he said to his mate, how about you have a go?
Well, they tossed a coin.
Yeah, righto. I'll do it.
Hold on. How drunk was this bloke?
Well, unfortunately for him, he blew a reading of 0.177.
Okay.
Hold on. That's real.
No, that's way over.
That's high range.
Yeah. That's getting
That's high range
maggot.
Drink driving. Well, he's lost his license.
How pissed was the other bloke?
It doesn't stipulate.
How are they going to get the boat
drunk.
In? How were they planning on pulling the boat in when they got to the boat ramp?
Well, then if they had have got in the vehicle, of course, then they would have been driving a vehicle.
Exactly. Hold on. So the bloke who owned the boat was really pissed.
Mm.
I bet he's the boss of that bloke. He said, you're going to have to, here come the cops. You're going to have to take this.
Yeah.
You're driving.
Jump ship.
Yeah. And the bloke didn't have a chance to say, I don't have a boat.
He's made under the tinny.
He sure has.
Well, he copped he's been disqualified from driving, which he doesn't have a license for anyway. So
he was probably never driving it. There needs to be a bit more digging.
And he's been fined $600. Right. He's a Nambour carpenter, poor fella. Hopefully he can still get to work. Hold on.
Do you get suspended from driving and boating?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Was it one or the other, or you lose both?
Like what happens
you
when
lose
you,
both?
What happens when you go DD on a push bike? Do you lose your car license?
It says disqualified from driving a boat for 6 months, but he technically shouldn't be driving a boat anyway if he's unlicensed. So the whole thing's a bit of a schmozzle. Yeah, dumb criminal.
Dumb judicial system, right?
But as he fronted the court, the police prosecutor, Rebecca Lambert, said that Boyce smelt strong of alcohol and had bloodshot eyes when the water police approached him. He was unsteady on his feet also, another dead giveaway. He's on the water in a tinny. It can be unstable.
Rocky.
He could have just had sea legs, Marto. But the thing that gave it away was that he was laughing for no reason before he blew the 0.7.
Has anyone done a scrapey drug test? What's he laughing about? Nothing, Sarge.
I'm not sure. He's thought, oh, shit, I'm going to get caught here. Yeah.
I'm going to go
if
6 months.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
We're all going to get fined $600. How funny is that?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
thanks to the Great Queensland Getaway. It's on now. You can fly for $75, stay for less and do more. Visit queensland.com for all the details. Look, there's a couple of sneaky terms and conditions, but you should look into that.
Hey, Margo, and I know he's not a favourite of Triple M like Dave Grohl or something like that, but... what's his name? Ed Sheeran getting COVID,
hey?
Yeah.
He's now, quite sick, apparently.
To remind everyone, there's a song I know Kath used to play a lot, Castles in the Sky or
Castles
Hill or
on
something.
Castles on the Hill, yeah, Shape of You.
I just read he sold 150 million albums worldwide.
Yeah, he's big.
Pretty good. Mm. He's popular with a few people.
Yeah, he's done a couple of concerts here in Brisbane. His latest one that he did at Suncorp, he just sat on the stage, guitar, him,
lazy.
Fancy schmancy.
Lazy. Is that what we're looking at?
No, he actually properly sang.
Love songs. Specialises in love songs, huh?
Yeah.
All right. The COVID thing. Did you tell me he was fully vaxxed?
Yeah.
Double vaxxed. He was with Prince William last week.
Yeah.
I hope he hasn't passed it on to him.
Spreader, super spreader.
But then I look, like, Ed Sheeran must be like 5'2". Prince William's 6'2", 3".
Middle.
COVID can't reach that high.
COVID does not go. It stays at its own level, apparently. All right, so I listen to this and I go, gee, that's unfortunate. Unfortunate news and, you know, all the rest of it. I know how the market, I know how the music business works.
Well, they've really struggled, haven't they, Marco?
Yeah, it's been a tough old time for musicians,
etc. Arts and entertainment industry.
I know how it works. They use things to attract attention and then they sneak up and they go, oh! And I've got an album coming out.
Singer Ed Sheeran has tested positive to COVID-19. Sheeran confirmed the news on Instagram just days before his new album comes out.
Well, he's done it deliberately. He's done it deliberately.
He's got the COVID on purpose.
It's just a promotion. His music company made him get COVID.
Terrible.
They gave him COVID just so, this will help the album.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Only a week to go until the Melbourne Cup. Margo, and I saw it got... Okay, you got plenty of time for that. And we'll work on your heraldry trumpets if we could.
I tried on some outfits last night, Marto. I'm getting together.
Important.
My headwear and my dress, because Melbourne Cup is all about the colour.
Yes,
of course, if you weren't aware. Derby Day is all about black and white.
If you know so much about... now, did you see the Melbourne Cup unveil?
I don't know anything about the horses.
Well, I'm giving you a quiz question. It won't be about horses.
Okay.
The Melbourne Cup, the actual cup, was there yesterday. And Michelle Payne, you know, the first female jockey to win the cup.
What was the name of the horse that she won on?
Prince of Penzance, I reckon. That's not my quiz question. My quiz question, what's distinctive about the Melbourne Cup as a trophy?
The cup.
As a trophy.
It's very large. You could drink a lot of beer out of it if you wished.
Going. Am I wasting my time here?
Is it bronze or gold? Is it what it's made out of?
No.
The handles?
Yes. What do you got? You're on the right track.
Are they the horse's tails?
No, that's unreal. Imagine that.
I don't know.
No, that's not.
Is it
right.
A bit like the horse's bit?
No. There's three handles.
Okay. Oh, there's three handles.
Yeah.
What's that for?
One for the jockey,
winners.
One for the trainer, and one for the owner.
Owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, nice one.
Push
that's
on, Greg.
Considered, isn't it? Everybody's in.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's probably what they needed for the Proven Summons Trophy for the NRL.
It's now got three legs.
It wouldn't have fallen over.
One of them goes this way.
Now, that was what I was and what didn't want to talk about. I just went.
I digress. Sorry.
Who did? No, that's fine. I loved it. Who did they get to launch this year's Melbourne Cup campaign and week, etc.? Gay Waterhouse.
Of course.
I go, the 67-year-old successful trainer. She
most
got two.
Famous.
She's got to have two outsiders in the cup. You went, go Gay. She might be losing her marbles.
We've got to start getting things rocking and rolling again.
Woo! Yes, it's her.
She'd be listening to Triple M, maybe. She should come over to the dark side.
Let's get the world going. I think she loves a bit of Pearl Jam. Now, listen.
If she wants to get things rocking and rolling, she needs to turn off the ABC and tune into the M, Smarto.
Why does she have an English accent when she's lived in Sydney?
That's a really good
point. But I think she's losing her marbles. First up, she's had a crack at Queensland, and I think we all know Incentivise, the favourite for the... Well, she's going, I think you need to look a little bit further than... Like, it sounds like she's a member of the royal family, Gay. Anyway, judge this, and I'll tell you something in a sec, because she's had a red-hot go at us.
He's got a suffix that's unusual. It's called Queensland. And I don't mean that in any way rudely, but there's only been, I think, one winner of the cup from Queensland. I hope he does win the cup. He's Aussie. I'd love to see him win the cup. But, you know, it doesn't happen very often.
Well, I don't know what she's talking about. Anyway, she's saying that this incentivised, which is a favourite. Now, this just makes me...
Isn't it Toowoomba horse, Marto?
Well,
Toowoomba, it's raced
started,
at Gold Coast. Toowoomba,
Sunny Coast. It's Queensland down to the bootstraps. So if you know nothing, I'm going early with this, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going nothing about racing, don't worry. All you need to know is, I don't even know, actually the best I can find is Martini Henry in 1883. He was buried out at Longreach at this property at Longreach. That might have been the only other Queensland winner of a Melbourne
Cup.
She's
going back.
It's time. Martini
we're due
Henry.
For one.
We're definitely overdue.
1883. Right. I can't even count how many years ago that was.
It's a week out and, you know, people go, oh, I don't know anything about the Melbourne Cup. There's one thing, and this is if you take nothing else away from this show this morning, there's one thing you need to know. Incentivise is a Queenslander. We haven't won for, do the maths there, 17 plus 120, that's 138 years since we've won, okay? 138 years since Queenslanders won the Melbourne Cup. Incentivise is the favourite. Go into it. I'm going to be going. I'm trying to get our whole radio station. We're behind it. There's only one horse in the Melbourne Cup this right. year, and Gay can stick it up a clagger.
How do you spell it?
I-N-C-E-N-T-I-V-I-S-E.
I'm going to get on it, Marto.
It'll be horse one or two, I think. Well, all we'll just right. steady on. But incentivise. That's the only thing you need to know.
We've got to start getting things rocking and rolling again.
Yes, thank you, Gay.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Saw something baffling on the Nine News last night. You know that Tim Arvia, who's a mate of ours, their mm-hmm. reporter, they sent him up and they often let him do the... Because he used to be on A Current Affair, and I can remember coaching him in footy at school. He was a winger. And no one ever gets away from him. You know how plumbers and, you know, when they used to chase him on A Current Affair, he'd chase him down with a microphone.
He popped some rubber bullets in the protests
That's
over
right.
in America.
That's right. And he
puts his body on the line for the job,
puts his
Marty,
body on
Marto.
The line. All right. Well, last night he put his body on the line. They sent him up north to Mackay, I think. You know, the federal member for Mackay is that big unit, George Christensen. Member from Philippines, some That's people right. know him as, because he often doesn't turn up to Parliament because he's overseeing his girlfriend over in the Philippines. Anyway, he's got a storied past. I don't even know what party he's with. That doesn't matter. Because he's apparently been spruiking a lot of stuff on his Instagram and Facebook accounts about be careful getting vaccines. And they're saying, hold on, your electorate is one of the lowest to get vaccination, right? You know, lowest vaccination rates in Australia because you're saying don't get vaccinated.
He's on the same train that Craig Kelly and Clive Palmer are on about mandating vaccines and don't take the vaccine.
That's right, and have some freedom of choice, etc. And he was going, oh, you capital city journos, because he was up Tim Arvia, that mate of ours, about coming up to question him. And then he was, oh, it's no one's fault. It's just people up here don't, you know, care too much. And I've made that comment. You're living in paradise and they're going, you better get jabbed or tourists can't come here. People aren't going to get jabbed because they're going to go, I don't want tourists.
Well, it's the hot topic, Marto, vax versus unvax. And when I was up in Rockhampton, it was obviously a topic of conversation as well, because up there, they're unaffected by it. No one was wearing masks. You don't have to wear masks up there. I walked into shops and cafes. No one was wearing masks,
That's the
Marto.
Problem they're having, of course. And then there was this little bit, and this was what baffled me.
His Facebook feed is a stream of posts promoting freedom rallies and unproven COVID drug ivermectin.
I'm going, what's ivermectin? Started looking it up. And then I remembered I had a bloke we were working with doing carpentry about 10 days ago. He started spruiking this ivermectin and I'm going, what? He said, oh, you can watch the Joe Rogan special. It goes for 3 hours.
Pete Evans spruiks it as well.
Have you heard about this ivermectin?
Yeah, I've heard about ivermectin.
All right, hold on. Can I stop around for this?
CSI Marto.
All right, I don't want to spread untruths, but I want to be, if you're an expert, great. If you know a little bit, I'll even accept your call, 1-333-353. There's people claiming that this fixes COVID. It's unbelievable, and it actually is, because a mate of mine, I rang him last night, I said, what was that you were talking about? He's got a photo of some in his fridge next to his beers, and I haven't asked, I said, when do you take it? It is an anti-parasitic injection for cattle and pigs.
Oh.
What? No, well, I want... let's listen to both sides of the argument. We've heard what the government's got. What's this ivermectin?
Well, I know a little bit about it, and I'm no scientist by any means, but just what I've heard and what I've read is it was originally used by veterinarians for animal use.
Yeah, that's what this bottle says.
That was ivermectin, A-V-E-R.
Oh, this is ivermectin.
Yeah, so ivermectin was reinvented. It was repurposed of the ivermectin drug to use. They cured river blindness from it in 11 Latin American countries. countries.
But no one in Australia's got river blinders. They 1-333-1-333-53 Let's find out. Right. Give us a yell. Margot, you do a little bit more research and get back to me.
All right.
Anyway, the thing is, I've tracked it down because I can't trust or, you know, I can't expect our listeners to know the answer to this. We've got one of the greats, head of infectious diseases at Mater Hospital, Dr. Paul Griffin. Hello, mate.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Could you hear what we were talking about, this ivermectin? There's a few people blowing the trumpet about it. What does it do? What's it for?
So this is a medicine that's been around for a long time. It's been very successful at treating the things we know it treats, which are mostly worms like strongyloides and river blindness, as you say. But unfortunately, when we've looked hard for a signal, we haven't seen any benefit with COVID. So a lot of people are talking about it helping with COVID. But when we've looked hard in lots of clinical trials, unfortunately, we've seen it doesn't help. And even though it's a relatively safe medicine, like all medicines, there are some side effects. And we've seen, unfortunately, some people overdose on this or use preparations designed for animals and get unwell from that. So, yeah, we are cautioning people against using it when we unfortunately know at this stage it doesn't work.
Well, at this stage, I think people are looking for answers. We know that the vaccine obviously is a preventative measure, but not everybody is willing to jump on board that. Is this another alternative for them to look to that maybe gives them some hope around potentially a cure? Is that why it's kind of gaining such momentum?
Look, I think that's certainly how it's being discussed. But unfortunately, again, when we look at the data, when we look at the evidence, and there's been lots of trials, it would suggest that it actually doesn't help. We are very fortunate now, though, to have a lot of really effective therapies that are coming on board. We heard a few weeks ago about sotrovimab, which is an antibody therapy, and more recently about molnupiravir, which is an antiviral tablet that we should have fairly soon. But now we heard a lot about hydroxychloroquine early on, and that's been proven not to work. And now ivermectin's the same. Unfortunately, it just doesn't help.
Righto. While we've got you, we're just talking about, you know, I've had me two AstraZenecas. What happens? Everyone's talking about booster shots now. Where did this poke its head up? And, all right, do I get ready to have a Pfizer or where do you go with the booster stuff?
Yeah, it's clear we will need boosters. Boosters are going to be a really important part of our strategy. I guess the main thing with us here in Queensland really is that we don't have enough people vaccinated the first time around yet to really be that focused on boosters right now. We need to focus on getting our first doses up well above that 80%. And then boosters, I suspect, will start to be rolled out in a prioritised way, like the first vaccines were. So people at highest risk or who might have some issues developing a good immune response because their immune systems don't work so well, they'll be prioritised first. And then I think for most of the general population, we'll focus more on boosters maybe at the start of next year.
Well, is it going to be like the flu, like you have the flu vaccine and then you also have a booster vaccine?
Yeah, I think we'll have a regular booster shot for this virus. And the boosters will be used for a few reasons. It might be in a few years' time even that we need to add a second variant into the vaccine so we get protection against a new one if that need arises. And that's actually a pretty easy thing for us to do. And right now there's even trials of combined flu and COVID vaccines. So in a couple of years it might be really easy just to get one simple jab per year to boost against both of those viruses.
Paul, there's a lot of talk in and around mandating vaccines and obviously people, you know, walking away from their jobs, losing their jobs because they're refusing to get the vaccine. If 70, 80, 90% is good enough nationally as a society to move forward, why can't that be the same in individualised workplaces? Obviously, Novak Djokovic is bringing a lot of attention to the Australian Open because he refuses to say whether he's vaccinated or not.
Professional sports people are up to 95%.
Peter Volandis in the NRL was saying that they don't want it to cause divide amongst their team. So if it's good enough for Australia, why can't it be good enough for individualised workplaces as well?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. And, you know, the fact of making the vaccine mandatory does remain a fairly controversial topic. I think in most workplaces, I would have liked that we didn't have to and that the uptake would have been voluntarily high enough to, you know, achieve those targets of 80 or even 90%. You know, in some workplaces, I think it's pretty obvious that it should be, like healthcare, for example. I mean, we have a duty of care to our patients as well as the other staff to not bring something in and transmit it, particularly to vulnerable people. So, you know, I think it makes sense there. But, you know, more broadly speaking, I think it, you know, comes down to the individual assessment of the workplace and the risks of the workers and the people that attend. So yeah, it's a bit controversial, but the main thing is, I think if we just all line up and get those jabs, then that, you know, the requirement to mandate it will be a bit less.
Yeah, we all know lawyers are going to get involved at some stage, but thank God at this stage it's doctors. I won't take the ivermectin. My mate's offering me out of his beer fridge.
I think it's Bovmectin, isn't it?
Oh, whatever. It had a picture of a cow on it, so I'm
mentioned something about pigs too.
Again, thanks for sorting it out, mate. You're the sort of person who should be out there marketing the jab because you do such a wonderful job. Thanks, mate.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
It's the Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Sign up to the Sunday Mail Transurban Bridge to Brisbane. This year it's going back to the Gateway Bridge, which would be great. Sunday, November 7th, register at bridgetobrisbane.com.au.
Got some incredible gear here, Margo. They're calling it the darkest day in the history of Australia for hangovers.
Lord. Who died?
No, for hangovers.
For hangover.
It's the darkest of dark days.
Oh, don't tell me.
McDonald's Australia cancels all-day breakfast menu to speed up wait times during evening and afternoons.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
This is bad.
Apparently, this is big.
Why?
Fast food giant McDonald's has quietly, until I mentioned it, stopped offering its popular all-day breakfast menu across the country because there was too many people. I think the eggs might have taken them a while to cook. I think that was because they use real eggs. I know, there's a news bulletin.
Slows everything down.
Slows everything down. And therefore, when you got there just around lunchtime and the arvos, you'd have to wait too much because people were getting bacon and eggs.
I would rather wait and have fresh, hot, prepared food than stale old food that they've just got in the hot cooker.
See, that happens at some Bay Marie's at servos. They'll make up their bacon and egg burgers at 7 in the morning and just leave them
in the Bay Marie. In the little hot
box. Just heating them up.
Yeah, and I'd rather a fresh one. I'm happy to wait.
Would there be room for a hot box at Macca's, like on, near the Dunnies or something or other? Just have, listen, all this stuff was made
couple
ages ago. It's a lot cheaper.
Ideas,
no,
man.
No. Wait. What did you just say then?
A couple of little hash browns.
It's not, no problem. In positive news at McDonald's, hash browns will remain available all day.
Oh, well, it's kind of just like a big chip, isn't it, Marto?
And they are my fan. They're my favourite. I could eat a hash. I avoid bacon and egg and sausage and egg McMuffins anyway.
Egg.
I'll wait
so
until 10:30. So it's over. The breakfast menu is only running 4:30 until 12. You've had time. I prefer
what about shift
quarter
workers?
Pounder.
What about them? This is discrimination, Marto. My Jagger, our seven-year-old boy, he loves eating a bacon and egg muffin over a cheeseburger at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
McDonald's is going to change the whole thing for one seven-year-old at Cornubia, right?
Yeah, of course.
Is there anybody
sure
else?
There's more than one.
133353. Is there anyone that is going to miss? McDonald's are smarter than us. They would have done their research and gone, we're only offending like 11 people.
Hot cakes for dessert.
Oh, kids, stuff.
Sauce and egg for lunch.
Sauce and egg. Are you guys serious?
You bet.
Yeah.
I don't like their breakfast anyway. So I'll wait and go the quarter pounder. I'm a quarter pounder guy all the time. I'll wait until 10:30, but because they'll let me have a proper burger. So what's the use of bacon and eggs? Bacon's a breakfast food.
Exactly.
Before you leave home, so I can cook that at home.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner.
I can't make a quarter pounder at home. Anyway, geez, I don't know. What are we going to do? Well, I don't care.
Nothing, because McDonald's have made the decision.
Is there anyone who eats who will care about this? I'm telling you,
up. What time is it now? Because it
12 o'clock.
It used to be 10:30. You couldn't get breakfast. I think after 10.
That's right.
And then people whinged and complained because they're hungover.
They
sleep in.
They turn up at 10:30 too.
They get there at 10.
Oh, what do you mean there's no breakfast? Oh, yeah. I need my sausage.
So then they changed it and then
went
your favourites all day. And now what are they saying? You can have it till lunchtime.
Have it till 12 o'clock. Or McDelivery, you can go until 10:30. I don't know what that.
Can you just say that again?
McDelivery?
What is it?
Have you ever had one? I've never had a McDelivery.
McDelivery.
I've never been. Like, surely you can
get to
the...
You know what I want them to bring back?
What?
Throughout the pandemic, they lured me into a false sense of security, thinking that I could get bread, milk and eggs through the drive-thru. I loved that because it meant I didn't have to get out of the car because people frown at you if you leave your kids in the cars these days if you just want to run in for bread and milk. So it was a great alternative. Bring back the bread, milk and eggs, I say.
I don't know. All I want is Carissa from Tagum. Hi, Carissa.
Hi.
Have you got one of these humans who's disappointed that they can't get a bacon and egg McMuffin all day?
Oh, my 13-year-old was very disappointed on Sunday about 3 p.m. when I tried to get him a bacon and egg muffin.
Exactly. Why are they doing this to us, Carissa? They're torturing
us. Does everyone understand what breakfast means? It means you've fasted overnight and you're breaking the fast.
Have you ever had Weet-Bix for dinner, Marto?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever had four children under six that you just can't be bothered some nights cooking dinner, and if it's good enough for breakfast, it's good enough for dinner, and you just eat whatever you can give them?
All right. What if I, as a parent, Carissa, you're included here, if I say... it's time for dinner, and I pull out four bacon and egg McMuffins.
Yes. Oh, I would love you.
No, you don't. Yes. Carissa, thank you for the call. Anyone else? Who is this impacting on? Carissa's son? We're up to two so far.
But it's the reverse as well. What? You can get the burgers in the morning too, can't you? Are they going to stop that
you'll
now?
You'll be surprised.
Isn't it just an all-day everything menu?
I love 1-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-
which you've heard the news. What do you feel? How do you feel about
it? Well, years ago, I used to be upset when you go to McDonald's at 9 in the morning.
Too early.
You know, at that time, you want a greasy double quarter pounder.
Yeah.
And you look up at the menu and it's just breakfast.
Hey, I'm with you. You are me, Adam. We're brothers on the same menu at McDonald's. Do you know, I can't say for sure you can't get a quarter pounder at 8:30 a.m. at the moment. Have they changed
it? Oh, you can now.
You can now, but they just changed this. I don't know.
Will it go back to breakfast only options?
Can someone from McDonald's ring us immediately? Yeah.
Is when you try to get a thick shake at midnight, their machines shut down to do some clean midnight. Why don't they have two machines? It's not right.
An emergency backup.
You don't want dirty milkshakes. You want them clean.
Yeah. Well, but that's what Adam's saying. They need a backup, just a little one. They have their big mega one, whatever they use, and then they need a little one just for people like when Adam comes in. Like, how many thick shakes do you reckon they're serving an hour?
Whinge.
Oh, stop.
I know Ronald's got big shoes to fill, but he should be, keeping us happy.
Wingy Wednesday tomorrow. Call back, Adam. Good on you.
Emily from Beenleigh. Hey, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Are you happy about the change at Macca's, or do you think they should have left it the way it was with breakfast available all day?
Look, I worked at Macca's when I was in my late teens and everything, when it was all the 10:30 thing. But, look, there's nothing wrong with breakfast for dinner when you've got kids.
That's exactly right.
Pancakes, ice cream, bacon, eggs, just whack it on, get it done.
Yeah. What's the difference?
Your dessert and everything all in the one meal and that's it.
I'm a bit sus on the whole thing, this breakfast for dinner thing. That's probably my biggest issue, and I think that's what McDonald's have said. No more. Breakfast stops at lunchtime, and then it's afternoon.
Most cafes and restaurants have an all-day breakfast menu, or they serve from 10 a.m. or up until 11.
Do they have about 200 stores and 10,000 employees around Australia? No. There's a reason McDonald's are so bloody big, because they're good at it.
Mm.
And they don't want to serve breakfast for dinner. Sorry, Emily, don't mean to be rude to you, but there's not many of you.
So when can I get breakfast up until now?
At lunchtime, I've told you. Okay. Until lunch midday menu. And then I tell you at McDonald's, if you want to have a look at yourself, there's too much Angus gear on there. Don't you reckon?
This is Triple M. The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. If you missed last night's cricket action, catch up with KO Mini's ICC T20 Cricket World Cup condensed match highlights. Start your free trial today.
Geez, it's hard work at the moment in sports departments, like you think, especially in Brisbane, rugby league. You know, what does it go? Rugby league, then AFL, then cricket. You know, you got to get them on the screen. To get a rugby league story, there's not much happening. Like yesterday, not one of the Burgess brothers got arrested. So there's just nothing happening in the world of rugby league. So all of a sudden they go, Shane Flanagan, who coached Cronulla Sharks to their first ever grand final win, what's that, in 2016, okay, and then got suspended, got him into trouble and stuff. This is the best rugby league story around.
Flanagan's head coaching exile is over, with the former Sharks mentor taking charge of the Macedonian rugby league side after serving a ban for breaching NRL-imposed sanctions.
What? The Macedonian rugby league? That's
where are they? In Macedonia, obviously. Do they play over there? Who do they play?
I don't think there's any players actually over in Macedonia. I think if you ever been to Macedonia on a holiday, you were qualified to play for their team. It was the scaliest, scungiest looking bunch of individuals I've ever seen. And Paul Gallen was there to help him.
Oh.
So anyway, they're making a bid for the Rugby League World Cup.
What was the sanctions? I'm sorry, just remind me.
Oh, he was in trouble.
Is that the peptide stuff?
Yeah, and then he got suspended for a little while. And while suspended, he started approaching players going, I'm coming back, Saint.
Oh,
and then he got suspended again.
Okay.
So he seems to be a decent enough player. So that was one. And they go, oh, hold on, here's another rugby league story, and it was Peter Volandis.
We've got to be together, and I'm just hoping the hysteria in the community about vaccinated, unvaccinated people doesn't come into the rugby league world.
So obviously they were probably talking to him about racing, and then someone said, Jesus, let's jam in a rugby league question. So they're saying vaccinated, unvaccinated. He's hoping.
They don't want to create a division within the league. They want to keep, you know.
But he had to admit this.
they'll have greater freedom. There is no doubt that they will have more freedom than an unvaccinated player.
Well, the thing is, they'll be able to go to Melbourne.
It's
they'll be able to come to Brisbane.
These days, isn't it?
I guess so. And guess who's got the lowest vaccination rate?
The Broncos a long way to go, with recent figures revealing Brisbane as the least vaccinated club in the competition.
We will chase those clubs up to ensure that they get to the 95%.
Can you imagine? Just Landy's with a needle. Come on, you little bugger.
We're the Mighty Broncos. I don't need to be vaccinated.
Thanks, Pete. But the thing is, you go, geez, there wasn't many stories around. 7:30 last night. James Tedesco has walked past a Vietnamese girl and said Squid Games. Read all about it today. See how that one goes.
Disgusting.
Interesting.
Did he really?
Well, I don't know. They're in NRL integrity.
He was a nice guy.
He does seem to be a nice guy. The integrity unit's investigating.
Yeah. Nikki from Goodna. Hey, Nikki. How are you? You want to come to lunch with me?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Margaritas with Margo. Your chance to win your way in soon on Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Just a reminder to keep listening because you could be having lunch and margaritas.
Well, we spoke to Nelly yesterday. Yeah. She's coming along. And then I just ducked out to go to the bathroom, Mardo, and I heard a producer, Jack, on the phone.
Hey.
To Catherine from Ipswich, who was expressing her want to come along. So I chucked the headset on and I said, Catherine from Ipswich, you can come to lunch with me too.
Oh, lucky
ladies
Catherine.
Long lunch. How good is it going to be next Friday,
know
Mardo?
What she's in for.
Good luck, Catherine.
I think I should be more worried about what I'm in for. Catherine sounds like she's up for a good time. But you know what I also love the idea of, Mardo's not just a long lunch and some cocktails with a few girlfriends. It's turning the Brisbane River into something magnificent, and that is the bold new plan of our Lord Mayor, Adrian Schrinner. You know I'm a big fan of the Shrindog and his beautiful wife, Nina Schrinner, our Lady Mayoress.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous. I saw this. He wants to turn the brown snake that is the Brisbane River into a
blue snake.
Now, it's not possible. Now, you've been on the water recently. I can tell you the Brisbane River is see-through at the moment. I went fishing with a bloke the other day. Oh, I wasn't fishing. I was watching because I didn't realise where he was fishing and not far from the Breakfast Creek.
It was clear.
It's clear. The river's just got a brown base on it.
From what I can see here, Mardo, which is the most, you know, that I look at the Brisbane River, it looks like a shady, you know, shade of brown. But I got the jet ski on the Brisbane River not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised at actually how clear.
When you go across to where the rocks are on the edge of the river, you go, wow, you can see through 4 to 6 feet.
But even if you just, like, scoop it up into your hand as you're driving through it on your jet ski, it's clear. It's drinkable. It's just the presence of the mud.
That's right.
Lying.
Ask any pool builder. The thing is, when you get to that stage, righto, what tile do you want? You go, righto, what shape do you want? What depth do you want? How do you want your pool to look?
And is it correct that the different speckles and pebbles
or tiles
reflects.
Is what decides your colour?
Because it's not the sky reflecting onto the blue water.
The sky
is it?
Can change it slightly.
It can.
But the basis is it's either blue or green. So it's what tile. So what are you going to do? Are you going to get a heap of pebble creek, like pump out the river, and then fill it full of blue tiles
Good
to
job.
Get the blue river that they want? Is that what they're after?
Mr. Schrinner has called on both levels of government to continue negotiations in good faith. And some of the things that he suggested are a well-funded program to clean up our creeks. Brisbane River and ultimately Moreton Bay over the coming years would be hugely beneficial.
They're just words. I want something like, going to get a blue river. Tell me how you're going to do it.
Well, I've got a suggestion, Marta. I was reading all of the things that they're thinking about doing here, and it sounds like it's going to be a large-scale project. It's going to cost a lot of money. I've got a way.
That's right.
Have you ever heard of blue food colouring?
Yeah.
Do you see my hand here? I'm showing you my hand. Those of you at home can't see it, obviously, but I'm showing Marta the palm of my hand. And there
looks
is
like you've
blue.
Got a leaky pen been on there or you've got a bad
that
tat.
Is blue food colouring that has been there for days, Marta. Yeah. That stuff sticks. I reckon, you know those helicopters that do the dumping when it comes to fire season?
Oh, the bushfire.
Oh, the retardant. Put the red retardant on.
Yes, the red retardant and the water dumping. Let's just get a whole lot of blue food colouring and just dump it all down along the river and that stuff will stick. We don't need this to be a long-term project. Just before the Olympics
come around.
Just
before the Olympics,
around,
a week before.
Just throw it in, a week long, 2 weeks long.
Let's hope no one puts some Jello in there as well.
I mean,
imagine
look, I
that.
I am an idea. Beers woman. Get me on the committee of the Brisbane City
Organising
Council.
Organising committee.
Blue food colouring. So too easy. Problem so simple. Solved.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for the Great Queensland Getaway, where you can fly for $75, stay for less, and do more. Be quick. These incredible deals end October 31 or until sold out. Visit queensland.com for all the details.